Praise the Lord, family, and welcome to another Gift of Life show. I am so excited. God is just doing so many amazing things, and soon you'll be able to hear about it more as He unpacks this divine suitcase of His grace in Christ Jesus. I'm finishing today number 7 on the reality of sin, and I'm going to title it, Is Lucifer Satan? Does the fall of Lucifer describe Satan? And because we've been talking about sin and Satan and lawlessness, what it is. And if you've missed any of these episodes, you can always go to www.lovebyexample.com. Click on the archives and they're listed there in order. So I'm just excited because God is just doing so many great things. You know, in Romans 5:20, it says, where sin abound, grace abounds that much more. And that's what I'm experiencing personally. More of His grace, which is God's gift, which is unearned and unmerited. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. That's the acronym for grace for me. And I'm just excited about that. And I get to teach it. I get to help others. It's sad, too, because there's many people that are not hungry and they're not humbled enough to receive it. Because you've got to be humble to receive the grace of God. And you're going to see this as we go through here about Lucifer turned Satan. You know, you can't be prideful. You know, I think what's happened is that the believers have gotten twisted and duped by the enemy where he's twisted it and where they're believing lies by resisting God and submitting to Him. Okay? Fighting each other instead of fighting the enemy, Satan and sin. But, you know, we're here at lovebyexample.com to expose that, according to Ephesians 5:11, expose those works of darkness with the light of Jesus Christ, John 8:12. Hallelujah. Well, let's get right on into it. The question is Lucifer Satan? Does the fall of Lucifer describe Satan? There is no verse in the Bible that says Lucifer is Satan, but an examination of several passages reveals that Lucifer can be none other than Satan. I love this. Watch. The fall of Lucifer described in Isaiah 14:12 is likely the same that Jesus referred to in Luke 10:18, where he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Similar, and it depicts the same kind of thing in Ezekiel 28. Okay, let's unpack these a little bit. Now remember my last series at number 6, A and B. It was titled, What Does It Mean That Satan Masquerades Himself as an Angel of Light? We came from 2 Corinthians 11:14-15, how he disguises himself as an angel of light. We talked about light and darkness being metaphors for right and wrong, true and error. You know, just metaphors to help us to see the contrast, and that God is light and the enemy is no darkness, and Satan's just full of darkness. And we're talking about being able to see versus being blinded. So basically, when you think about Satan, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy by blinding us, blinding anybody from seeing the true love and the light of God. And if you ever go to Isaiah 59:5, go there, because it says there that these false teachers that are ministers of Satan, spitting up and spewing out their lies, they're like snakes, they're like vipers, and they hatch snake eggs in the minds of people's thought life, and they also are like spiders who weave these webs to snatch them. So that's Isaiah 59:5, and that's in my book, The Dark Side of Karate 2. But anyway, it says in Isaiah 14, many of you may know this, 14:12-18, describes the fall from heaven of one called Lucifer, a name that means morning star, son of the dawn, day star, or shining star. This description is one of that refers and shows us that it can be no other person than Satan. We know that Jesus' own words in Luke 10, that Satan fell from heaven. So when Isaiah refers to Lucifer, that being cast down to the earth, Isaiah 14:12, it can be none other than Satan. And here, look at this. The reason for his fall is found in verses 13 and 14. I have it right here. I'll just read it. He said this. I'll read. Okay, here we go. He said, this is verse 12. How have you fallen from the heavens, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How have you cut down to the ground? You were weakened and you weakened the nations. Okay, it didn't say you were weakened, but weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, now look at this, He's speaking. That's what I want people to understand. Satan speaks. God speaks. But when Satan speaks, he speaks lies. And when those lies are coming out, they're a form of sin and trespassing and breaking God's law and totally contrasting what God's word tells us about life and about him and godliness. So he says, he said in his heart, talking about in his mind. Remember, he was created by God first, Lucifer, right? Has the same kind of attributes. He says, I will, here, five eyes. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregations on the furthest side of the north. I will ascend from the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Oh my gosh. You see those five eyes? It says this has always been Satan's desire to be like God. And it is a very same temptation that he used in the Garden of Eden and with Adam and Eve to disobey God. You shall be as God. Genesis 3:5. Now let me just read from Tony Evans' book. I love this little cute book. It's powerful. It's called God Can Not Be Trusted and Five Other Lies of Satan. And here's what he has. He's got these six lies. Major lies. Satan does not exist. He wants you to think he doesn't exist. God is holding out on you. God cannot be trusted. Sin carries no consequences. You can't be like God. And if it feels good, do it. So those are the main five lies that Tony Evans, God revealed to Tony Evans. And I love that because it's true. But in Ezekiel 28, now here's another passage thought to refer to Lucifer / Satan. Although it begins with Ezekiel being commanded by God to take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre in verse 12. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. Okay. And it says, an evil, adulterous king. Okay. It soon becomes clear that this passage is referring as well as to the powers behind the king, Satan. Okay. I love this because check it out. Tony Evans says, if all you can see is all you see, then you haven't seen all there is to be seen. See, we aren't just human physical beings. We are spiritual beings first. And we have a soul that we can think, choose, and make choices with and feel with. But we also have a brain, a physical brain, and a physical body. So we're a spirit soul and we live in a physical body. Okay, so we're a triune being just like God. But definitely on a lower level, right? But we have his divine nature on the inside of us. 2 Peter chapter 1. Divine power, divine nature. We're joint heirs with him. We're one with him. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that we've been joined together with Christ because of what he did on the cross for us. Took and broke the power of sin for us and gave us, imputed into us, his divine nature. Now we're one with him. So there's no excuse, brothers and sisters, for us not living this abundant life that Christ came to give us. So it says here that this evil, adulterous king, King of Tyre, okay, but the power behind him, I mean, think about it. Anybody that's evil, that lives in evil, Hitler, Mussolini, any of these evil people that have risen to power, or even if they're in the home, it could be on a lower level, it could be a dominating female in the home, a dominating preacher, a dominating husband, a bully in the schools. You know, anybody that just wants to dominate and control, that spirit behind their physical action is coming from Satan. Bottom line, they believed his lies, his thoughts, which is me, myself, and I will enthrone myself. I will ascend to the heavens. It's all about me, myself, and I. It's pride. And that's what kicked Satan. That's what got Satan kicked out of heaven. He says, you know, he wanted to be like God. Ezekiel, and like I said, another passage, although it begins with Ezekiel, commanded by God again to lament for this king of Tyre, the evildoer. But like I said, it becomes clear that the power behind this king was Satan. Verse 13 says, he was in Eden, the Garden of Eden. Now listen, the Garden of God, clearly, the king of Tyre, this physical man, was never in Eden. Verse 14 says, you were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. Now apparently, Lucifer and Satan had positions of guardians of angels in heaven, and among the fiery stones, thought to be the shining precious jewels that are seen in other descriptions in heaven. Exodus 24:10, Revelation 21:18-21. And since the king of Tyre was never in heaven, either this can only represent and describe Lucifer. The rest of the passage describes the reason he was cast out of heaven. Because of his beauty in his heart, became proud, and his wisdom was corrupt. Woo! Ezekiel 28:17. Pride in his perfection, wisdom, and beauty. Verse 12. Became the source of his downfall, and God threw him to the earth. Verse 17. This was witnessed by the Lord Jesus in heaven before his incarnation. Luke 10:18. Bottom line, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That's James 4:6. That's James now. Oh, this is just so deep. James is like the New Testament commentary to Proverbs, because James is quoting Proverbs 3:34. See, God, that's why one of the things that I've learned over the years, and I'm sticking to now, I have these two H's. Anybody I get to counsel, teach, exhort, if they come to me and God sends them to me, I have these two H's. They must be humble. Well, first of all, they must be hungry, and they must be humble. Because when you come to me now, in this season of my life, I'm going to feed you the pure word of God. You have to be willing to eat. But the flip side of that H, you've got to be humble. Because you're going to be shown, not to condemn and put you down, but to show you the errors in your thinking so that you can correct them by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so you have to be humble to take that. Take that humble pill, because God resists the proud, because he can't work with a proud person. A person that thinks that they know it all, and you can't tell them anything, and they get resistant when you try to talk to them and correct them, you can't help them because they're walking in darkness. They're being deceived by the enemy. But here's what you have to do. If you have that problem and you're working with somebody, don't let the enemy and those toxic thoughts make you think it's them, because it's not them. It's Satan working through them. So you got to stay in the spirit. You got to stay in your new mind of Christ. You got to recognize who's really behind the attitudes of the person that's talking to you and resisting you, just like this particular king, just like Peter. When he told Jesus that he couldn't go to the cross, and Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." You know, it was Peter physically there, you know, but it was Satan speaking through him because Peter allowed him to. See, Satan and sin cannot control a believer any longer, because Jesus Christ broke their power. Only by permission and them choosing to allow them to can they control us. That's why we're taking back our power to choose. We're taking back what the enemy has stolen from us, and that is our will, our power to choose. Choice. God said in Deuteronomy 30:19, "I've given you life and death, blessings or cursing. Choose life so you can live." That's the switch that I've learned to turn on as I've been on Dr. Lee's plan. Who switched on your brain? Now, who switched off your brain? Think and eat yourself smart. You know, even what we eat, we have to make a choice of what we're going to eat. And if those choices have developed into bad choices, that's where obesity or anorexia or bulimia fall in place. So, brothers and sisters, we have got to stand up and be counted for in who we are in Christ. Know our position, our new identity. There's been an identity exchange. There's been an identity theft, in a sense. But the theft that stole our identity did it legitimately, and it really wasn't a theft, because it was God. But you know there's identity theft all the time. People taking somebody else's identity, their credit cards, whatever, and going up there charging up stuff. And the person that's selling it to, they're buying the goods from, and the person that's, you know, maybe at the bank, they don't know. They just look at the card and think that face is the same, one and the same. But an identity theft steals that person's identity. Well, Jesus Christ, he stole and took the old identity that we had in Satan, lost in sin, and legitimately he gave us a new identity in Christ. And that's Galatians 2:20-21. So we're a brand new creation, brand new beings. And so what we want to do at lovebyexample.com, at our women's seminar coming up, CUBU, as God develops the team. And if you're interested in being on the team, if this is something that you would like to be a part of, you can go on my website, You can call me, and text me, email me. I'm on Facebook, and just, if you're interested in this, it's going to be all about unfolding and unpacking the contents in our book, Do You See What I See? But we have a desire that God has put on our heart to go out and spread this good news about who we really are in Christ. Because I'm afraid, as I've been studying Philippians chapter 2 and 3, that many believers think they're born again and they aren't. They just aren't. And I want to make sure that they know for sure who they really are and that they're seeing the fruits from who they really are producing in their lives. But if they don't know that, then you give Satan and sin those toxic thoughts that you think, Satan working without and sin working within, you give them power to deceive you and to blind you. And again, that pride, which is the flesh, that's Romans 7, rises up and it resists God because the flesh cannot please God. It's enmity against God. A carnal, fleshly person, they think carnal, they're going to act carnal. And they're not going to receive life and peace, but they're going to receive death. And what death is being separated more and more against and with the love of God and the life of God. So to summarize, Lucifer was cast out of heaven for his sin of pride. There he is. And his desire to be like God. Jesus referred to seeing Satan being cast out of heaven. Therefore, we can conclude that Lucifer and Satan are one and the same. Now, let's go real quick before I close to Luke. Let's go to that passage of Luke 10, 18. I just want to read that in closing and just know that we have the power, we have the victory, and that we have already overcome. But it takes time to understand this. It takes time to see this. But, once your eyes are open, once Abba opens up your eyes to see and understand this, that's why we're memorizing Ephesians prayers, Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 and Ephesians 6. We want our eyes to be opened up. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit can we see this, see these divine truths, and begin to act like it. That's where our theme is, see you. Because when you see you, you will be you. Oh, praise His holy name. I love that theme. One of our ladies on our team, God put that in her spirit, and we all just adopted that. But here's what it says. And this is Luke 10, 18. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on the serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Remember, lightning. Satan wants to transform himself as an angel of light. Or he wants to make you think that what he is saying to you is true. And then once you adopt that lie, then it becomes yours. And like it says in Proverbs, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And also, let me find this other verse. I think it's really neat. It's Proverbs, I don't have this one memorized yet, but Proverbs 27. Look what it says here. This is just so pretty. I think it's right here. Proverbs 7, 27. Let me see, 27. It's a lot like Proverbs 23, 7, that as a man thinks, so is he. But here it is. Let's see if I can find it here. This one's good too. Iron sharpens iron. So as a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. But here's this verse. Look at this. As in water face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. So wherever your treasures are, that's where your heart is. Wherever your heart is, that's where your treasures are. So if your life is not being fulfilled, and you know that there's more, and you're not seeing it, it's probably because you're not realizing what kind of seeds that you are adopting and planting. And you're not, your change doesn't start on the outside. It never will start on the outside. True change. Now, the world will say it does, but it doesn't. Trying to lose weight and getting surgery, the sleeve surgery, or trying to control your worry by taking a whole bunch of pills with the doctor, that's all external stuff. That'll never uproot those toxic thoughts. It always starts from the inside. And when I mean inside, I mean inside your thinking process. Inside your thinking process. There's a song called How Is Your Thought Life? I should have played this one afterwards, but we have a good one coming up. But brothers and sisters, believers, I just want you to know, Jesus Christ loves you. He showed that love on the cross. God loves you. And he redeemed you. We talked about that at Bible study the other night. Redemption is paying for someone's freedom. You know, all of us were born in sin. We were born sinners. But it says in Romans 3, 23 and 24, especially 24, being redeemed freely by the grace of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We've been purchased out of the slave market of sin and death. And now we've been given a brand new life, and we are free now to become all what God has called us to be. And Satan does not have any power. Sin has no power over a born-again believer. If they do have power over them and are controlling them and are living this double life, this double-minded kind of life, it's because they haven't learned the truth about their position in Christ. This is why I love my book, Do You See What I See? Can we talk about just four chapters, four simple chapters, but so deep. We talk about our position in Christ. We unpack that P. Then we talk about the power, the resurrection power. We unpack that with Ephesians, because the Word of God, all Scripture, is divinely God-breathed. It's inspired by God, and it's for doctrine, teaching, it's for reproof, correction, and it's for instruction in righteousness so that we can be thoroughly equipped to do good works. And so when you know your position and your power, then you can perform in his presence, consciously being aware that he is always with you and will never leave you. He becomes the theme of your life. He becomes your everything. Paul said in Philippians 3:10 that I may know him and the fellowship of his suffering, that I may know his power, his resurrection power, and the fellowship of his suffering. Don't you want to know that? That's different than just being in a religious setting. See, religion and legalism says, here's what you got to do, do. That's why these believers are tired who are coming to me. They're tired of performing because they're not seeing the results that they're seeing in the scriptures, just like I used to be. So we're here to say, let's get this relationship going. Let's find out this intimate, beautiful relationship we have with the all-wise, living Creator God of the universe, that he would be mindful of us, that he would consider us, that he loved us. Here we were walking on the pathway to hell, and Jesus stops in the middle of the path and says, stop, please turn around and go the other way. And those of you who did that choice, then he gave you his nature, his power, to be able to live out his holy laws. But you have to dig. You got to wax on and wax on. We're still in a sinful body. We're still in a sinful world. But guess what? They don't have any power over us anymore. So if you're not around a group of people, believers like that, and if you're not being taught like that, find them. Ask God to send you people or call us. That's what we're all about. We're not about just sitting every Sunday, every Wednesday, and looking at the back of somebody's head and hearing somebody preach to us from the pulpit, and we walk out and forget what the heck we learned. We're not about that. We're about transforming our lives in the image of Christ by the power of his Spirit, because we know our position and we're watching him perform it. We're learning to decrease so he can increase. That's Romans 7, 6, 7, and 8. Oh, brothers and sisters, I am so excited that God has given us this call. And because we have the right remedy, we have the answer, the solution to all these mental illnesses that are going around that are causing 75 to 95% of physical illnesses. Yeah, your thought life can cause physical illnesses in your body. So we are trying to help people to become whole and to be able to stand up and fight the real enemies and focus on who you are and who you are in Christ. And that way, when you see you, you will be you. I have a song for you. God bless you. And I'll be starting another series. God bless you.
Give God a rejoicing praise for victory as you stand over the devil, for he is